CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus. The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
The 2024 MLS season is in full swing, and the Athletic continued their tradition of anonymously polling league execs to get the consensus on things like best players, coaches, and overall thoughts on how MLS is run. Part one of the Athletic's MLS survey dropped yesterday, and part two came out this morning. Joining us now to break it all down is one of the authors of the survey, Athletic senior writer Paul Tenorio. Paul, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning. I want to start with just how a piece like this comes together. How willing are these executives to answer some of those hard-hitting questions?
Well, it takes a lot of work, actually. You know, there are some days where you get four or five GMs on the phone, and that means you're on the phone for 5 or 6 hours straight. There's sometimes where you're chasing GMs down, you're sending multiple texts, and you go days in between surveys, and you're like, man, are we going to have the numbers to do this? I think most execs now kind of look forward to the survey because they know what's coming and they want to get some of their opinions out there. There were a couple that said, we thought, do we participate this year? Do we not participate? But I think they realize that there is more positive than negative in doing this, that you can talk about some of the exciting things from the offseason, some of the big topics that are going on around the league and help to inform fans. And for me, it's my favorite part of the year because I have so many conversations with so many different execs, and it impacts how I ask questions and how I report about league issues going forward to hear so many different opinions, even outside of kind of the normal conversations I have with a smaller group of GMs, you know, that I typically talk to.
Paul, what was your biggest takeaway? There were so many intriguing questions, including Inter Miami's roster building and if it's good for the league and all that stuff, because that's been kind of like taboo from the league and the owners. For me, that was my biggest takeaway. How about you?
Well, I do think it's interesting that most people, you know, they didn't really take shots at Miami when they had a chance to anonymously. I think they recognize, for the most part, as you see there, the poll shows most GMs, not all GMs, think that the roster build was good for MLS. And it's hard to say otherwise, right? When you're talking about bringing Messi to MLS, of course, that part of it is good. The back and forth really goes, you know, does it push MLS backwards in terms of discussion around being a retirement league, right? When you see the picture of the four ex-Barcelona players hanging out on the bench, makes it look like it's a retirement league. At the same time, though, Miami has signed three U22 players. They've gone and gotten some good younger players. They have some homegrowns that are on the field. And so overall, I thought, you know, I was kind of surprised that there weren't more shots taken at Miami because they're the bullies right now, right? Like, everyone wants to beat them. But I think it shows that most sporting directors do try to pull back and have a more universal look at what's good for the league. And so for me, my big standout was, you know, kind of the theme that's been there all 3 years, which is, hey, we need to reform these rules and we need to kind of tear it all down to the studs and give teams more flexibility, more freedom, more ability to spend across the entirety of the roster. And you even saw a little bit of that in the discussion around Miami, right? Because they're saying, hey, 30 different teams next year in the league. Let's have 30 different approaches to building rosters. Let's have 30 different identities. You can have Miami and you can have Philadelphia, and that's a good thing, but let's take that to the extreme. Let's take off all these restrictions that force you to at least do it within a certain way and say, no, let one team and one market and one owner have a certain identity, and another team and another market and another owner have a different identity.
Paul, did you get a sense that that's a decision that maybe can be turned around, that that's some voting, or do you think there's enough support for something like that? Because I think that's pretty interesting. And then the second question I want to ask is just regarding some of the conversation around U.S. Open Cup. What did you hear about that?
Well, first of all, these GMs have no say in what these roster rules are going to look like. A couple of the CSOs do sit in on the product strategy, Sporting and Competition Committee, which is what they recently renamed product strategy. But the owners are the ones making these calls. I think it's more likely we'll see adjustments to the rules, and maybe some of those adjustments are significant. But I don't think we'll see MLS tear things down completely, at least not before the World Cup. As much as the GMs and the sporting directors might want that to happen, as far as U.S. Open Cup, it was overwhelmingly in favor of playing the tournament. Wow. You know, there were a few CSOs who said, look, in reality, the interest in the tournament just isn't there. When we go to sell tickets, the difference between selling tickets to an Open Cup game versus a regular season game or a Leagues Cup game is night and day. But I think the majority, as you see here, 20 of them say we should be playing. This is a chance to win a trophy. There's history here. You know, again, there's that universal idea of what's best for soccer in this country. And they feel like playing the lower division teams, having these big marquee games for those markets, to have MLS teams go into Birmingham or Louisville or Indianapolis, is important to the growth of the sport. And, you know, also I would say, like, a lot of these CSOs played in MLS, right? So they played in Open Cup games. They enjoyed it. And I think that influences them as well. But definitely a majority, a strong majority of GMs saying we would like to play. And guys, we don't need to worry about it because we can rotate our squads how we choose fit, like how we see fit. Well, some teams might want to play their starting 11 the whole way through and try to win a trophy. Houston Dynamo, they got something out of that last year, right? They were able to say, look at our growth, look at our progression because we won a trophy. And other teams like Miami can play all of their young kids and call guys up on loans because they're focused on Champions League. We have the flexibility to do it. I don't understand why we needed to change. And I thought that was interesting as well.
Paul, why don't you think we'll see roster changes before the World Cup?
I think we will see roster changes. I just don't think we'll see it completely dismantled, the system that we know today. So the system that has DPs and U22 players and GAM and TAM and all these kind of intricacies that have been built up over the last 15 years or so, I think that's going to remain in place to a certain degree. I think we will see changes. Maybe we'll see, you know, Tom Bogert already reported for The Athletic that, you know, the DPs and U22 players will be uncoupled. So you can have three senior DPs and three U22 players. I think we'll see tweaks like that. Maybe we'll see more money injected into the system, you know, whether it's the salary cap going up or more allocation money put in so that teams can spend more. But I think that there probably will be some hesitance to tear things down to the studs for a few different reasons. One, the people in the league office are the same people that built this system. They've been there for 25 plus years. They are the architects of this thing. That's tearing apart their own, you know, their Frankenstein, right? So there's some degree of that there. But I think also the CBA runs through 2027, and there are going to have to be conversations about certain rules with the MLS Players Association, the union as well. So those parts of things, I think, make it a little bit more difficult to completely rewrite the rule book in the middle of a CBA. I do think, coming off of the growth that we've seen behind Messi's presence in Major League Soccer, with the Copa America, the Club World Cup, the World Cup, you know, these owners are recognizing that this is a moment in time where you have to do something. What that something is, we'll see. I think it will be some change. I'm not sure if I'm ready even to say substantial change, but I am hopeful that there will be substantial change. And that was one word that was used by multiple CSOs in this survey as well. They are also hopeful that we'll see real change. And I think we could see some change as soon as this summer, and then bigger changes in the offseason.
Paul, what are your thoughts on all the love that Thiago Almada seems to be receiving, and how highly they rate this young player?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing for me around Almada was there was a bigger split than I thought in terms of will he break the record. I actually thought most GMs would immediately say no. $27 million, which is what Almirón got, Miguel Almirón, when he went to Newcastle, is a massive number. And we asked, will Almada break that number? You know, they were split. Some people really feel like he can fetch $30 million, which is what Atlanta United is looking for. They think he's the most talented player in the league, he and Denny Boanga. Of course, we discounted Messi from that part of the survey for obvious reasons. You know, he's got the pedigree. He's won a World Cup already. So there are things that are in his favor. One aspect that isn't. First of all, there's only a handful of teams that is going to pay $30 million in the world that can't afford to do it. And the second thing is that, you know, he is still quite young. He doesn't have the stats and the numbers that Almirón did coming out of MLS, where he is the most dominant player in the league. But I do think that GMs believe he is going to fetch somewhere around that number, you know, whether it's 20 to 25 million with a bunch of add-ons. The fact that we're talking about that type of transfer fee shows what the league thinks about this player and how impactful he can be.
Paul, real quick, just give me a sense of what the overall feeling was regarding, obviously MLS took a major step forward for any league around the world doing this universal global deal over the top network with Apple TV. What's the overall sense after a year of that?
I think in general about the deal, some optimism there. You know, there's a real belief when you're associated with the Apple brand that that's going to be a good thing for MLS. And also a few sporting directors said, look, we have a partner who is actually committed to growing this league, which is really important. You know, when you're at ESPN in your Major League Soccer, you fall a little lower on the pecking order, understandably so, right? The partners that ESPN have are major, that CBS has are major, the NCAA tournament, things that are just frankly bigger than MLS in terms of domestic audience. Apple has MLS. That's what they have. And so there's a lot of positive there in that they are driven to grow the league. Certainly there's an acknowledgement that there's room to grow in the production of the games and kind of the discussion around the league. But I think overall, the sporting directors are really hopeful that Apple is going to be the thing that pushes this league forward, that having that outside voice influencing owners saying, hey, let's grow this thing as big and fast as we can and then see what the audience looks like. And, you know, again, maybe that's all these sporting directors just hopeful that they'll get more money to spend on their rosters. But that for me was the prevailing thought about this Apple MLS deal.
Paul, part two had some really great quotes. One of them was about cheating roster rules. And one exec said, who's going to be able to prove it? The league has definitely upped their compliance, but it's really not hard to break the rules in this league. Oof. We got a bunch of cheaters. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, no matter what the roster rules look like, there's always going to be teams that are trying to find their way around them, right? I mean, that's true in any league around the world. We see it, you know, in the Premier League with all these financial breaches that are happening. You've seen it in the NFL, and you're going to see it in Major League Soccer, too. For me, what was interesting is that there was an acknowledgement that when MLS upped its compliance after Miami, after obviously the LA Galaxy both got caught breaking the roster rules, that there are fewer of kind of the smaller transgressions that we never really heard that much about, but kind of knew were happening behind the scenes. So agent fees paid on the side, or you're paying an agent as a consultant on your books, and that's a way to get around an agent fee to keep it off of someone's salary cap number. That type of stuff has gone down, which I think overall is better for the league. You know, the easier thing to do here, if you're Major League Soccer, is, you know, simplify the rules, make fewer places where people feel like they have to try to find a way to bend around something. That's part of the negative of having so many different pots of money that people have to fall within. But I think overall, the thought in this year's survey compared to last is that the prevalence of it is going down, at least in terms of skirting the rules in the traditional sense. I think you're still going to see stuff like academy recruiting and tampering during free agency windows, all that kind of stuff. I don't think that's ever going to go away. But I do think that, you know, when you start to crack down on some of these smaller transgressions, it does make owners and GMs think, okay, is it worth it? Is it worth it to sneak an extra $250,000 to this agent where if we get caught, you know, we're getting hit with a huge fine or a huge allocation money fine for the team? And I think overall that's a sign of progress. But, you know, when we talk about rule changes, simplifying the rules, I think it simplifies how teams put rosters together, and it takes away some of the need for trying to find ways to squeeze an extra $50,000 here or $50,000 there.
Awesome stuff. Paul Tenorio of The Athletic, always doing excellent, excellent work. And it was great chatting with you this morning. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks so much.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.